The mountains and meadows around the town of Gothic are outdoor laboratories for UCLA professor Dan Blumstein. To get an interview with the guy, though, you better be able to keep up on a mountain bike.
What scientists are in the best shape?
I don't know. Okay, we're in a park right here.
Blumstein directs a field ecology study of yellow-bellied marmots at the Rocky Mountain Biological Laboratory. RMBL, or Rumble for short.
So 1962.
Now, on its 53rd year, the marmot research at Rumble is one of the longest-running animal field studies in the world. Blumstein took over in 2001. And its long-term data set has led to a number of important insights, both within the field of ecology and beyond.
Marmots understand the academic calendar. And because they understand the academic calendar, you can get most of their life when schools aren't in session.
What this means for Blumstein's team of researchers is skiing up to the field site in the spring, where they live in cabins until the marmots hibernate in the fall.
Climate change, of course, is changing that because now they're getting up a day earlier every year. So that's actually, in the long run, that's a big chunk of time. Yeah. They're coming up in April where they used to come up in May.
As they began emerging earlier each year, Rumble's marmot population skyrocketed in the early 2000s. Because the marmots were coming out of their burrows earlier, they had the chance to fatten up longer and reproduce more. You might call them one of the early winners of climate change. But that's just one of the questions being answered by these marmoteers.
I can't keep track of them all. I mean, you know, I'll show you the spreadsheet. It's out of control.
The list is long, and on it is the question of how individuality emerges in marmots. Believe it or not, the personalities of individual marmots can have big impacts on the larger population.
The real interesting questions are, well, what are the benefits of having different types of animals in the first place? So maybe when there are lots of predators around, maybe it's not good to be bold. Maybe it is good to be bold. So we're testing some of those as we speak.
Marmot personality is something the team spends a whole lot of time looking at.
We are out in the field, like, a lot of time.
Okay. Yeah. That's graduate student Adriana Maldonado Chaparro. We spent an afternoon sharing a pair of binoculars.
I mean, we are out in the field since 7 in the morning till 10, 10:30. And then in the afternoons, we come around 4. We stay out until 6, 6:30.
After a while, two females emerged and started to play.
So that's what we do all day long. You know, line dot line, greet. Musical note.
Line dot line? Musical note? Those are the names of the marmots, identified from a distance by marks that the researchers put on their backs. Across the meadow at another burrow, PhD student Tiffany Armenta weighs marmots she trapped earlier. It's a routine measurement, but one that allows the team to understand why some marmots live, others die, and helps explain why the marmots began to thrive when climates started to change.
70286171. And the weight is 3800.
For more than 50 years up here, in lonely Gothic, Colorado, a small team has been spending countless hours observing, tagging, weighing, and taking blood from generations of yellow-bellied marmots. The resulting data they collected has featured in discoveries about such diverse topics as mammalian personality traits, climate change, and the evolution of fear.
She needs extra calories.
And these insights would not have been possible without the solitary work of graduate students, spending their days sitting in fields, looking at marmots with funny names.
Who are we missing here? Dracula?
For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Ellis Robinson.